I recently received a letter from Country Today reader Brenda Fernholz with a photograph of a rufous hummingbird that turned up at her Wisconsin feeder on or about August 3rd. It was a gorgeous adult male, and she quickly recognized that it was a rare sighting worthy of being photographed, so she grabbed her camera and started clicking. Her speedy reaction was fortunate. The bird only remained in her yard for about a half hour before moving on. Although the ruby-throated hummingbird is supposed to be the only hummingbird found in the Midwest, Wisconsin has had quite a few records of rufous hummingbirds over the years, and even two different records of green-violet ears, hummingbirds that belong in Central and South America, turning up at backyard feeders just this summer, and one previous record of green-violet ears from 7 years ago. And we also have records of two more western species, broad-billed and Anna's hummingbird. Minnesota also has one or two records of three other western species, magnificent, Costa's, and calliope hummingbirds. Why did these hummingbird vagrants end up here in the first place? Are they lost, intentionally checking out new frontiers, just showing individual variation from the average of their species? No one knows. It's possible, especially in the case of rufous hummingbirds, that more and more birds migrating to Mexico find their habitat destroyed, lowering their chances of survival, while birds that miss the mark and stay within the United States improve theirs. I've often wondered why sightings of green-violet ears seem to be increasing, wondering if birds displaced from their own territories by habitat destruction in the tropics don't just start wandering, trying to get a toehold in some territory, and just keep moving aimlessly, unfortunately, farther and farther from where they belong. But rufous hummingbirds are the vagrant hummingbirds most likely to be found in Minnesota and Wisconsin. They nest in the mountains and coastal areas from Oregon and Washington up to Alaska and as far east as western Montana. They're supposed to winter in California and Mexico and along the northern coast of the Gulf of Mexico, but being functionally illiterate, they don't necessarily restrict themselves to where the books say they're supposed to be. Just about every state east of the Mississippi has at least a few records of rufous hummingbirds, which are hardy enough that some have wintered in northern Ohio and other pretty cold areas. Last year, one spent over 2 weeks at my Duluth feeder from November 17th through December 3rd. When the temperature was still in the 20s, I could clearly see her darting at insects or spiders near the branch tips of several of my backyard trees and shrubs. But as the temperature dropped, her diet was limited to what she could find at my feeders. Hummingbirds require insects as much as they do nectar. To give her a complete diet, I ordered Nectar Plus, a special mixture of sugar and the right proteins, which is used in zoos and aviaries. Unfortunately, it arrived the day my hummingbird left. Meanwhile, I'd been grinding up mealworms and mixing them with sugar water in some of my feeders, and she showed a definite preference for those feeders. On December 2nd, we had a fierce blizzard, and that night the temperature plunged to 6 degrees. I was scared my hummingbird would have succumbed during the night, but next morning at first light, there she was. By mid-morning, the temperature climbed to the 20s, and she headed on. Sadly, once our ruby throats leave for the year, most people bring in their feeders, so it was pretty unlikely my poor hummingbird found any food after that, and probably died before she could reach a suitable area. I'm sure the only reason she'd stayed in my yard so long was that she'd had so much trouble finding a feeder anywhere at all as she moved along in November. People who leave a single small hummingbird feeder out until Christmas are unlikely to ever see a rare hummingbird at all, but people who don't are guaranteed not to. As more and more tropical forests disappear, more and more of these vagrants may appear in the upper Midwest, and the time of year they most often show up is from September through November after the last ruby throats have flown. Leaving a feeder out so late in the year may seem like a waste, but once cold weather sets in, Finding feeders here and there really is their only hope. Production of For the Birds is made possible by support from KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking For the Birds.